All right. Well, here we are, Joshua again. Last time we spoke about Joshua 14, and we spoke about the story of Caleb. And what a great image of faith this was. A man at 85 years old, came into the promised land, wanted to go to that promised land, wanted to take that fight 45 years prior to that incident that we were talking about. He went, he spied the land, he saw how great it is, he saw the giants, he saw everything that the other 10 spies saw. But he came back saying, "Oh, we can do this. We can take this. We can take this fight." We know the rest of the story. 10 of the spies said, "No, we cannot." The people of Israel did not believe. They blamed Moses and they started wandering again in the desert. Now we are not in the desert. They crossed the Jordan. They went from one city to another. We talked about all the great victories that they had. And we talked about how they needed to now possess the gifts and the things that God has given them. I have never seen a child on Christmas morning having lots of Christmas gifts under the tree, and a parent is telling them, "Here, I want to give you this gift. This is yours. It has your name on it." And that child would say, "No, I don't want to open it." Have you ever seen that? Have you ever heard of that? Absolutely not. We actually have kids going around the house even before Christmas morning, trying to find the gifts, trying to figure out what their parents got them. And when you put it this way, we find ourselves a lot more like the Israelites, not like the kids on Christmas morning. We find ourselves that God has said, "I have gifts for you. I have given you this gift. I have given you peace. I have given you healing. I have given you joy. I have given you blessings. I have given you so many things." And we're saying, "Oh no, I don't want to open this gift." The Israelites went through that. Even some of them went to Joshua and said, "Please do not let us cross the Jordan." And for those who crossed the Jordan, Joshua was like, "Why are you waiting on possessing the land? Why are you waiting on taking what's yours? Why are you waiting on opening the gift that God has given you? It's time. It's Christmas morning. The box is in your hand. Go ahead, open it. It's yours." But they didn't want to do that. Some of them didn't want to do that, maybe because they don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. I want to fight as a group. I want to fight as like the Israelites. I want to go fight as a group. I want to go fight as a church. But my individual land, my individual lots, I don't want to fight for that. I can't fight by myself. I don't want to take the promises that God has for me personally. Some of these groups didn't want to fight. And then we saw Caleb, and what a great, great, great warrior that was. He comes to Joshua. He doesn't wait for Joshua to go to him. He comes to Joshua and he says, "Hey, Joshy, here's what I want. You see that big mountain? Were all the giants? I remember that day. I remember that day when I wanted to go take that fight, but I couldn't because so many people pulled me back. It's my time. It's my time to go and take that fight. I want to go up to the mountains. I want to go face the giants. I want to go and I want to take that land because God told us that this is our land." Well, Joshua, you're 85. It doesn't matter. I am as strong today as I was 45 years ago. I am able today as I was 45 years ago. Just let me go and let me see and you will see what I can do. What's your plan, Joshua? I'm sure you have maybe some new weapons that no one heard about. Maybe you have some fighter jets or whatever. No, the plan is very simple. I'm going to ask for God's help and I'm going to remind him of his word. I'm going to ask, let me say that again. I'm going to ask for, that's my plan. I'm going to ask for God's help and I'm going to remind him of his word. I'm going to go to that journey. The giants are still giants. The problems are still problems. Our faith in God doesn't eliminate the problems. Okay? It does not. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to have problems. The problems are going to be there. The giants are going to be there. But our faith in God is going to show us that God is bigger than our problems. God is much larger than any giant you and I are facing in life. God is in control even when things seem very chaotic around us. That's what faith in God is. So Caleb said, no, I want to go. I want to take that fight. I want to go to the mountains. These are mountains, hard places to go to. And then it says fortified cities, means the cities are very strong, big walls, big armies. And the people who live there are giants. You forgot about that. That doesn't matter. They're problems. But we have much better plan than all of this. Ask for God's help. He will help us, and remind him of his word, because who can return God's word? If God has spoken a word, who can ask him and who can tell him, no, you can't do that? Okay. Today we'll continue in chapter 15, and from verse 1 to verse 12, it just tells us that they casted a lot, a lot, not a lot, like a lot, to see where everyone is going to inherit some lands. And there are a bunch of names that I'm not going to even attempt to even, try to pronounce those names. But what's really amazing here, that everyone took exactly what God had assigned to them before, many, many years before, through God's word, through Moses' word. God assigned this land for all of them, okay? But because now kind of the new generation didn't know any of that, and to avoid any kind of arguments, Joshua and the elder said, okay, yeah, let's cast a lot. And that lot for every person, every family, every group, inherited exactly what God had spoken and what God had told them that they were going to have many, many years ago. Okay, so that's the first part that we see in 15. Then we go back to the story of Caleb. Okay, and this is really important today. Okay, I want you to pay attention, because we were introduced to Caleb the warrior. Okay, now we're going to be introduced to Caleb the father. Okay, and I just saw this. This was a brand new, fresh revelation for me. Really, just got to me like maybe, an hour ago. So we're gonna pick it up from verse 13. It says, "Now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely, Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron." Arba was the father of Enoch, and we talked about that last time. In verse 14, Caleb drove out the three sons of Enoch from there, Sheshiah, Ahiman, and Talamai, the children of Enoch. Then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. Formerly, the name of Debir was Kirjath Sefer. So Caleb is again, now we see, not only that he spoke to Joshua saying that I want to go take the mountains, now he is actually going to the mountains. And the giants that we talked about are already there. Now Caleb is putting his words into action, okay? Because faith is not just words. It's not just, it's a moment of, courage and moment of this. I'm going to Joshua and telling him, oh, I want to do this, I want to do this. No, it's actually action. Faith is not just words, So he goes and he actually goes and he fights and he drives the three sons of Anak, the three, those three names that if you want to memorize them for future kids. And that's what That these are the things that people before saw and ran away from. He was not scared of them. He got to that place and he started his fight, and he was able to take on the land. Caleb wasn't, while he was proclaiming God's promises for him, he was setting a great example for his family and for us. Can I say that again? Caleb, because he held on to God's promises for him, because he believed in God, because he believed in the promises of God, because he wasn't scared of the giants, because he put the giants in their place, okay? He was setting an example before his own family. See, one of the things we see in Caleb is that he sees things the way God sees them. Can I say that one more time? He sees things the way God sees them. You and I sometimes look at Goliath and run away and say that he's a giant. No one. He is a well-trained man. He is a well-trained warrior. He's never lost a battle before. He's never been defeated before. But to David, because he's seeing Goliath through God's eyes, he goes, "Who is this? Why is this little thing talking? Today, God will give you to my fist or my hand, like you're nothing." You know, Caleb was seeing things through God's eyes, not through his own eyes or through people's eyes. You know, I heard this the other day about elephants. When in the circus, when the trainers, the elephant trainers, you know, the way they train the elephants, when the elephants are very young, okay, they tie them to these little to these poles that they put deep in the ground, maybe 5, 6 feet in the ground, big strong, you know, metal, you know, sticks in the ground, and they tie it to chains, very strong chains, and they tie it to the elephant's leg, you know, and in the first, you know, few weeks of this young elephant's life, they try to escape, they try to run away, but they can't because they're still young, and those metal poles or sticks are so deep, so strong, they can't. But as the elephants grow, they lose faith that they can break these chains. So the trainers no longer need to have these huge metal sticks that they go down 6 feet or 2 feet. No. They bring actually very small, very skinny little sticks, but they have still the chains on them, and they just stick them to the floor. And the elephant, because they're trained to see the obstacles, to see the chain, to go back to the previous memories of their disability or their disability to remove themselves, they look at this and say, "Oh, we can't." They stop trying. That's the trainer's trick. That while they were young, they used these things. Oh, if those elephants know that the big chain that was holding them doesn't no longer exist. If those elephants know that they're much stronger now, that even if they go back to the 5 stick or 5 feet or 6 feet stick that is going deeper in the ground, they can still break it because now they're much bigger, they're much stronger. But they don't see that anymore. They think that that stick is much stronger than them. They still think that they're weaker. They still don't see their strength. See, Caleb was able to see his true strength through God. That's a message for every believer that I hope that they can learn. As you have been defeated, as I have been defeated, you're not alone, by the way. You have been defeated, I have been defeated before. We all lost many battles. We all were chained. We were all chained with things that really tied us down and kept us from experiencing the true freedom of Christ. But guess what? All the chains have been broken. And what the enemy holds against you and against me right now is nothing but the memory and the images of the past. My prayer is that you can see what Caleb saw and what I that I can see what Caleb saw. He saw things through God's eyes. He saw that those chains are nothing but little wires that he can just, you know, break. He saw that that stick that he's talking about is nothing but like a toothpick to him. It's nothing. Those giants, they could be as big as they can, but I'm seeing today through God's eyes. He believed in God giving victory before he even saw it. Because his plan is very simple. I'm going to remind that God told us that we're going to take this land. That's the plan. That's the victory. Remember what we said a few weeks ago? We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Okay, this is a good reminder for all of us. Okay, we fight from victory. I am fighting because I know I already received victory. I'm not fighting guessing whether I'm going to win or not. I already won. The battle has been already won. And then I see something else here is that he is going and persuading Joshua and the leaders for the things that he believed are given to him by God. You know, he's not someone who's being hesitant about those fights. He's like, no, it's mine. Like every child, every Christmas morning, what are they coming to tell you? Where are my gifts? I want my gift. I want my gift. I want it right now. You know, this box is mine. This has my name on it. This has my. He is persuading Joshua. He is persuading Joshua. And I pray that you and I can start persuading God for the things we have, for the things that He has for us. And He put His faith into action right away. So He sees things through God's eyes, not through His own. He sees the truth that God says it is. Okay. He believed in God's victory before he even saw it. He didn't let anything limit him. That's another thing. Age doesn't limit me. Fortified cities don't limit me. Mountains don't limit me. Giants don't limit me. There is absolutely no limit to what God can do through my life. You know, a lot of the disciples stayed in that boat, thinking that this is all they can do. Just be in the boat, hope for a safe return to shore. But one of them said, you know what? If that's you, why don't you let me walk on water just like you are? Why don't you let me take that journey of faith with you? You know, but you should be in the boat. You should not leave the boat, especially when the storm is hitting as hard as it's hitting right now. Stay in the boat. But he goes, no, I don't want to stay in the boat. I don't want to stay within these limits. I want to go and experience something new. You know, a lot of us are satisfied with where we are. We go to church Sunday. We go to church Wednesday. We read our Bible daily. We pray daily. And we think that, wow, we're amazing Christians. We're amazing believers. And these are the limits we put to ourselves. There is a lot more than this. There is a lot more peace and joy that we can spread around. You know, if you come to my office, maybe Pastor Al came to my office. Gracie made something at Arise when she was in Sunday school. She made this cross, and in the cross it has blocks. There is like a dark block that says, this is what my sin did to me. And then like a red block that says, the blood of Jesus, washed away my sin. And then a light block that says that my heart is clean. Something like that. And you can see that she couldn't even stick those blocks on the cross, you know, equally or evenly. It's like all over the place. And she gave me that gift that she made. Gracie's 17. She made this, I want to say, maybe 12 years ago, something like that. I even remember who helped her to do it. It was Joyce, Fawaz's sister. And she gave it to me, and she said, can you take this to your work? So I've had this in my office. I had it on the computer. She put it there herself. So when you're sitting, if you're a customer, if someone visiting me, It's on my computer. The first thing you see, it's hung from my computer. It's this block. And yesterday, I had a visitor from corporate, and I saw her eyes. You know, she's a lead attorney from corporate. So I saw her eyes on that thing the whole time. While I'm talking to her, I saw her eyes. Her eyes were not off of that thing the whole time. And I just felt like in my spirit saying, I'm going to pray for her to take this home with her. Not the actual gift. I would never give her that. If she's saved, she's saved. If not, that's not my problem. But she gets, I'm talking about the message, you know. And I just sat there. I was like, Lord, you allowed this person to come. You allowed this little sign to be there. You allowed her to see your word. You allowed for this situation to happen. I pray that this message goes with her. And if you open door for me, you open door for me. You know, anything and everything that we can do, you know, for the glory of God, He is available to use us, even through little thing that Gracie did for me 12 years ago or 13 years ago. Joshua, I see him here, not putting a limit to himself. I mean, Caleb, sorry, not putting a limit to himself. As many Christians try to limit themselves to being a good Christian boy or girl, being good churchgoers. That's great. It's amazing that we go to church. It's amazing that we fellowship together. It's amazing that we learn. It's all needed. It's a must. But that's not the limit. That's not the limit. Jesus said, if you believe in me, springs of living water, something like that, will overflow from you. That means that you have the ability to feed and to help so many people. Rivers of living water. These are the words, rivers of living water. Then verse 16, really quick. And then Caleb said, he who attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife. So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as a wife. Now it was so when she came to him, she said, she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? She answered, give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land in the south, give me also springs of water. So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. One of the most beautiful verses in the Word of God. Okay, let's try to uncover this a little bit at the time. Caleb goes and he says, I'm ready to fight, but you know what? I want others to fight too. This is not just about me. Everyone needs to get in the fight. And if you can see my faith, I want to see your faith as well. Whoever attacks this city, you know, because there is more to conquer. There is more work to do. There are more signs to hang in on our computers. There are more people to talk to. There are more people to give hope to. Whoever attacks this city, I'm going to make him my son-in-law. I'm going to give him my daughter. You know, and Caleb, for his love for his daughter, he wants her to marry someone who is not necessarily rich or educated or in ministry or this or that. He didn't say any of that. He said, whoever goes and attacks, whoever goes and claims, whoever goes and kicks out these people that no longer belong here, whoever can go to this war, that's the man I want for my daughter. That's the one that I'm looking for. It breaks my heart, especially in our culture, in the Egyptian culture, when parents say, oh no, my daughter or my son, they're going to marry doctors. They're going to marry someone from a family that looks like ours. They're going to marry someone who's wealthy. They're going to marry someone who looks like us or who acts like us or has the things that we have. Caleb is looking for someone who is a warrior, someone who can go and fight, someone who can kick out the enemy from the land, from this holy land that God has given them. I'm looking for someone that can fight the same way I have been fighting. And then Othoniel, which means God is my strength, says, I can do that. And he goes and he fights and he takes on the city. Then he marries the daughter, Aksa, which means beautification or beautiful or something to decorate with. Okay. And then Aksa goes, all right, well, and now I want you to remember the things that we just said a few minutes ago about Caleb setting an example, Caleb the father. Okay. And we're going to talk about also the three characters here, Caleb, Othoniel, and Aksa. So Aksa came to her father. She persuaded her husband, said, go to my father and ask for this land. And Caleb said, yeah, I'll give you the land. You know, you fought well, you won, you weren't scared. I'm going to give you my daughter, and I'm also going to give you this land that you want, that you asked for. Then Aksa sees her father, and then she goes to him. Now she's persuading him. She's going after him, asking him as a father for some water, you know? And that just reminds me of so many people in the Bible that can come to God as the father and ask for a blessing. One of the things that we are very, we don't make a lot of noise about when we ask God for something. It's like we're acting like, oh no, it's okay. It's okay. I don't need this. I don't want this. You know, we get all Egyptian on God, like, you know, because Egyptians would want something, you know, but they're acting all like shy and embarrassed and like, oh no, it's okay. I don't want this. You guys know what I mean? Or you haven't been around Egyptians enough. You know, you don't know what I mean? No? Okay. Well, you know what I mean. So if you want something from God, just ask for it. She went and asked for what she wanted. Jacob in Genesis 32, he said to God, I will not let you go unless you bless me. You're not leaving. See, this is the kind of prayer that God likes. He likes these kind of prayers. It's not like, you know what, if you want to, it's fine. If it not, I get it. I understand. You're busy, you know. You have a lot on your plate. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve it. You know, all these things that we say to God. No, God says, just come boldly and ask me. Talk to me. Jacob was so bold. Say what you want about Jacob, but when he wanted something, he went after it. He went after it and he was like, I'm not letting you go. I fought with you all night. I'm ready to fight another week, another month, because I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And then we hear another prayer in Chronicles 4:10, one of my favorite prayers about Jabez, when he called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted his wish. And God granted his wish. And he was changed from his name, the son of pain, or the reason for pain, the reason of misery, into someone who is honorable, because he persuaded God. He went after God. When Elijah was praying for rain, Elijah was praying for rain and his head was in between his knees. You know why? Because that would be the position that women back in the days would take when they're about to give birth. Elijah was praying in pain, ready to birth the thing that he's been praying for. See, these are the kind of prayers that God is asking for. The prayers that are like, I am not going to stop. You know, one of the two words we say, Dina and I, every single morning when we pray, Lord, we insist and we persist on this prayer, because we know that this prayer is according to your will. We know that our unity is according to your will. We know that the spiritual well-being for our children is according to your will. We know that today, when we speak or when we do something, we need your help and we insist that you would help us. We insist on this prayer. We're not going to settle for anything more less. It's going to be the same prayer. We're going to say it day after day until we get it. So you gave me the land. You gave me the land, but this is a dry land. The land is dry, for sure. It needs some water. It needs some water. I don't know about your life. I don't know about what's going on, but I know I'm living in a dry land. And I need water from God. I need spring from God. And as Paul said in Ephesians 3:20, what our God will do is exceedingly above all that we ask or think. Remember that verse? When we ask him according to his will, he will do exceedingly above all the things that we asked for. So you asked for some water. I'm not just going to give you water. I'm going to give you the upper and lower. So let's take a look at Aksa really quick and compare her to her father. Okay. She learned from the example that her father set before her, right? Not only her, Othniel also learned from the example that Caleb set before him, because Caleb wasn't scared of giants. Caleb is not scared of war. He's not scared of what it looks like. He's not scared of the party on the other side because he has faith in God. His name means God is my strength. So he learned that if this is what God has given me, I'm going to go take it, no matter who's standing there. He learned that I'm not going to make these giants or limit myself to the city or the walls or the giants. I'm not going to do any of that. And then Aksa is the same thing. She is learning from her father. She didn't see him as Caleb the warrior. She saw him as Caleb the father. She saw him as someone that she can go and have communication with. She saw him as someone that she can talk to. When Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray, he said, you come to him and say, my Lord, my King, my Master, right? That's the prayer, right? Oh, it's our Father. She learned to go see him as he is. Just like Caleb saw God as he is, she saw her father as he is, simply her father. Okay? She asked for things from him openly without shame or hesitation. I want a piece of land. I need springs of water. Okay? Caleb said, God will help us, and I will remind him of his word. Okay? Because I know he will help us. Simply asking and pursuing or persuading God or asking from God. She asked her husband to go for ask for the land. She asked for the water. She realized that the land here is dry, that what she had is not enough. It still needs a little bit of water. Her husband got her the land, but only her father can make that dry land a fruitful fruitful land. So she goes after her father and asks for the water. And what does her father give her? The upper springs and the lower springs. So think of this with me. Here's the dry land. Okay? The upper springs are coming from up down. It's flooding the land with water. It's the whole land now has water. It can be fruitful. It can grow plants and all of that. But what if there is more abundance? This is where the lower springs will keep this water. See, God didn't forget about our needs here in on earth. You know, he will supply all of our needs in heaven for the spirit spiritually, and he will supply all of our needs here on earth. We think that our God is someone who just cares about my faith and my strength. Absolutely, yeah. But he also cares about what I eat, what I drink, where I live, what I do. He just told me not to worry about Him telling me not to worry about it doesn't mean he doesn't care for it. That's a misunderstanding, by the way. Him telling me not to worry about it doesn't mean he doesn't care for it. He does care for it. These are actually his words. He said that your Father in heaven cares for you. Okay? He's just telling me, don't worry about it. Just put your faith on me. Ask for my kingdom first. And then we see here in these three characters, one in Caleb got what he wanted in faith in God. The faith in God, he got him what he wanted. We see Othniel, wanting to show, learning from the faith that God has shown in God and the reward that faith brings. He wanted to marry Aska, and then we see her, his daughter, getting what she wanted because Caleb is her father and she approached him as a father. Every one of those characters got what they wanted in different ways, but they all got what they wanted. There is not one way or another, or there is not one right way, just God can answer our prayers in so many ways. He can answer our prayers when we just simply come to him and say, Father, I need this. He can answer our prayers when I say, Father, I need this, but he needs me to move and to do something about it and to go to battle and to go to war. Sometimes he answers my prayers when I give him, when I have a goal and Lord, this is what I want to do. According to your will, this needs to be done. And I want to go and do it. Would you give me the strength to do it? God will answer the prayer as well. Caleb, doing God's work, didn't just take the land that God promised him, but he also set a good example for his family, for the people around him, to do exactly the same. And that should conclude Joshua or the story of Caleb. Any questions? And please comment because I really do miss Dina giving me a break.
It's interesting you said that all three of them received what they wanted, but everything that they wanted was within the will of God.
Yes.
There are times where I could ask God for something where either I'm not sure that it is within the will of God, or it could be opposed to the will of God. And it's something that I want maybe for the wrong reason or the wrong timing or something like that. So this is not like a blanket promise where just because they received what they asked for, that means everything I ask for, I'm going to receive. Right? I need to make sure that it's according to, as you said, that we insist and we persist because we know it's
The
according
will
to
of
your will. So I need to make sure that what I'm asking for is according to the will of God. So
absolutely.
by her asking for water, the Father gave her both the upper springs and the lower springs. And the upper springs, speaking of heavenly
Yes.
gifts, and the lower springs, speaking of earthly blessings. And I think that falls in line with what Jesus says: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. She didn't ask for this necessarily, but that's just his overflowing heart
That's
that says,
right.
because you asked for this, I'm going to give you this on top of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you notice, it says the upper springs came before the lower springs. The upper springs need to come first. Yeah.
What did you say Othniel's name means?
God's my strength. Let me go. We'll possibly talk about him later on.
An accent?
Adorned or beauty or like decor, like something to be admired.
I'm sure she enjoyed that name.
Yep, I can relate.
and Caleb, I'm sorry, his name.
Caleb, we did it last year. Is it sorry, last week. It feels like. Is it?
You did?
Yeah. Oh God. Faithful.
Faithful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else has anything to share?
I
This
want to
is a
ask
very
you.
rich topic.
Yeah, for sure. I want to know the limit of the land they have. How can they just give you the land? Like you take the law and the app, and how they do papers, or they got notary, or how they do that?
They did cast a lot. So that was something that they've done. I think when I read about it, they would have the names and the areas, okay, and they would literally just cast the lot, and that's how it came. And I think they did it this way. What I believe they did it this way because the older generation that we're spoken to already gone, and they don't want the new generation to argue among themselves, like, why would you take this? Why would you take that? And it's something that back in the days a lot of people have done. They cast a lot to see what they're gonna get. But if you see, like, if you go back to from 1 to 12 and compare it, and I can send you the verses from Genesis and from different areas, it aligns exactly with what God has told them that that's what you're gonna get. So they just casted the lot, and each group took the areas that God had for them. Like, you're gonna take this city, you're gonna take Norwalk, you're gonna take Downey, you're gonna take Bellflower, you're gonna take LA, you're gonna that's how they did it. Just went by cities.
Are those like the gifts that you were mentioned that they didn't want it? Like, those were the gifts.
Yeah,
So
so
why didn't they want to take it?
that's the question that we've all been asking.
Yes.
Why don't you want it? Because mainly when God gives you something, remember we mentioned this long time ago, sometimes you have to work for it. Sometimes you have to fight for it. Like Caleb, for example, God said, I'm gonna give you this mountain. But you look at the mountain and you see what? You see a mountain, you see giants, you see big walls, and you're gonna say, oh no, I can't take this, right? But God said you can take it. That's why I mentioned earlier, we fight from victory, not for victory. Caleb is going to that mountain, not guessing whether he's going to win or not. Caleb is going to the mountain knowing he's going to take that area. He's going to take that mountain. So taking some gifts, and that's a great question, taking some gifts, and now we're talking about spiritual gifts, right? We're talking about our spiritual life, like taking holiness, taking self-control. It's an area where a lot of people, struggle with, self-control. Anger, taken to be a peaceful person, something like that. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of prayers. It takes a lot of even fasting sometimes. It takes a lot of surrender. It takes a lot of openness between me and my brother and having someone being accountable to me, someone to help me through that journey. These are the gifts that we're talking about right now that God said, I have given you these gifts. I have given you the gift of holiness. If you're struggling with some kind of sins that make you always feel dirty, you feel like it's wrong, I have given you the gift of holiness. You just have to work for it, knowing that I already gave you victory. Just ask me to go with you. Self-control, joy, whatever it is that God has promised us, it's already been given. So what happened in the Israelites and why we're sharing this book, this is just giving us a tangible tangible picture of what you and I go through, but in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual warfare. Back then, they actually had actual cities, actual wars, horses, giants, soldiers, and all of that. You and I are fighting a different fight. You know, we're not fighting for land. We're not fighting for against, you know, big, huge giants with horses and swords. No, we're fighting the enemy. We're fighting habits. We're fighting traditions. We're fighting the spiritual, enemy, the demonic enemy that's trying to capture and keep everything that God promised you and I. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We're fighting every thought that exalts itself above the name of Christ. To use the words of the Apostle Paul.
Yep.
So what to do to see things like God do? What advice would you
faith.
Give us?
What's the question? To see things?
Yeah, because when you were reading, mm-hmm. you said,
what see things,
yeah,
see things
what you, yeah,
through their God eyes.
Yeah,
that's great.
See
that's a great.
God do. What are your advice? What?
That's a great question. So for me personally, and I will leave this question for everyone, but a very simple answer for me is to be as connected as to God as possible. If I am in God's presence, you know, all the time, imagine if you are in a plane, you know, and you're looking out of the window, you and the person next to you are seeing the same thing. You look down and you see this huge big stadiums this big. The big mountains, you see them this big because you're seeing it from the same point of view because you're both in the same area up there. The closer I am to God, the closer I am to know God, know how mighty he is, know how kind he is, knowing how capable he is. You know, the closer I know him and I know all of his characters, the easier for me to see things through his eyes. You know, if I know that God was able to split the sea in front of the Israelites, and I believe in that. If I know that God was able to calm the storm, and I believe in that. If I know that God was able to raise the dead, and I believe in that. If I know that God was able to move mountains and to do things that are that extraordinary, and I believe in that. When something comes against me, like a bill that's not paid, or some kind of sickness, this or that, and I am this close to God, I know him. I know he can handle this. I know he can do this, right? Tell me, what is Marcelo's favorite dish that he can cook?
He cannot cook.
Oh, he can't cook? Okay. I picked the wrong person. Well, no one, does Pastor Edwin cook? Do you cook? No one cooks in this place. Okay, I need another example. Well, I can do omelets. See, if you ask Dina about my omelets, she'll testify. She'll tell you they're great. You know why? Because she's tasted it many, many times. She's had it many times. You know, when you're driving with your husband, you trust him driving, right?
Yes.
Do you scream? Do you scream and say, "Oh, there's a plane, there's..." Or do you just let him drive? Don't lie. You know you scream like most other.
I trust him in driving. Yeah, I do trust him in driving.
Okay, so because you've been with him in the car many times, you know, I know that most wives on this call are screaming when we're driving, but you give him a little bit of trust because you know him. He's done it before. You know, you've been next to him. The closer you are to him, the more trust you have in him. That he can get you from point A to B. You know, the closer I am to God, I can see things. I can see what he's seeing. I can trust him. I can know and have confidence he's got this under control. You know, because I've been there with him before. I've been in the car with him before. He's walked me through things before. You know, I have testimonies over testimonies. You have testimonies over testimonies that can witness to God. So the closer we are to God, the closer we are to remind also that the more we remind ourselves and each other of his goodness, the more we can see things through his eyes. So when a big, huge giant coming my way, when a big, huge truck, you know, driving right next to you, you're not freaking out. He still has got it. He can stay in his lane. You know, when the traffic is stopping, he will stop. He will hit the brakes. You know, when it's free to go, he can do it. He's got it. You trust that. You're not filling him. You're not jumping out of the car. I know you're not. Even though some people here could, you know, want to jump out of the car, but you're not jumping out of the car. You're not screaming. You're not having a, you know, a panic attack because there are many cars around you. No, he's got it. Same thing with God. When we're in the same boat with him, we're in the same, when we're in his presence, we let him lead. We let him drive. And the more I trust him, the more, no matter how big or small the cars are around us, no matter how big the situations are around us, he's got it. He's under control. He's got it under control. Anyone else can add to that?
You know, Caleb himself was one of the 12 that actually spied out the land when Moses sent out the 12 spies. He was one of the 12, and he was one of the two, him and Joshua, that came back and said, "We can take the land." Spying out the land means going to see what rightfully belongs to you, scoping it out, checking out what's there. We get to check out what's there when we enter into the Word of God, as we're doing tonight, as we do on Sundays, and we're studying the scriptures, and we're looking at the promises, and we're looking at God, the God of those promises, and we see what rightfully belongs to us. As Hassan was sharing beautifully tonight, that I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to live in anger. I don't have to live in these kinds of things because God's already given us so much. I just need to be able to believe God and invite him into my situation and begin to live from there. And that takes practice. It's not like a magic thing that just happens. It takes practice.
Yep.
But as we do practice, then we just get better at seeing things from God's perspective. When you know what rightfully belongs to you, as he used the illustration of being high up and you look down, things get smaller and smaller.
Thank you.
And that's why when Jesus was fighting, he was always quoting the scriptures. So he said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." So we have to know what's written.
Yep. You know, I'll leave you guys with this verse. You might want to write it down. It's Isaiah 25, 1. It says, "Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness, you have done wonderful things. Things planned long ago. I will exalt you. I will praise you. You know, I will exalt your name. I will put you first. You're going to be the biggest thing in my life. I'm going to cheer for your name. I'm going to be excited to call on your name. I am your biggest fan today, Lord." Why? Because you have, in your faithfulness, in your perfect faithfulness, you have done wonderful things. And when I stopped, and that was the first thing I read this morning when I woke up, and I just started asking myself, let's name some of those wonderful things that God has done in my life. And I just started remembering his protection. I started remembering what he's done in my life. And I started remembering so many things that he's done. That carried me through the day, carried me through a very challenging day, you know, carried me. And instead of thinking of all the challenges that I had today, I thought about nothing but praising God today. Because I chose to exalt his name, not because I'm good, but because he's been good. Because he's been good. He reminded me of everything that, not everything, but so many things that he's done in my life that were so wonderful, great and amazing things that he's done in my life. If you reflect on that, if we all reflect on that, it will be so easy to exalt him, to praise him, to put him in the place he should be in our life. Amen. Any other comments or any other questions? All right. Well, Pastor Edwin, could you please pray for us to close?
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence, Lord, for giving us more of you, more of your faith, Lord, more of your peace. And I give you, Lord, all the praise for who you are in our lives. Teach us, Lord, how to recognize your love, how to be close to you, Lord, to give you praise for every single situation, for as small as it is, recognize that you are there. And go forward out of the victory that we have every single time, every single situation that we have. We go from that victory to victory to victory, knowing that you are in control of our lives. And give us the persistence, Lord. Be persistent on you to get to know you and keep believing that you are the one who is close to us, that you are our Father, our Heavenly Father, the one who created us. Just to recognize that and be, like today he says, to be close to you and recognize that the problems that we have is nothing compared to who you are, because you're in charge of everything, Lord. I give you, Lord, all the praise, all the glory, and bless everyone. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence and for your love. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
We'll see you next week.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right, good thank night.
You. Good night.
Night.